You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I thought almost you weren't going to make it back for this. You cut it close.
I wouldn't miss it.
I know you wouldn't miss it, but if you cut it close.
There was a person working in the office. So I stopped. Wow. There was a singular person working where there used to be 40 people working.
But the show ever sounded
there
older?
There was someone working, so I stopped to chat.
Bulldog stopping to chat during a break and almost missing the beginning of Jim Lampley. Well, this is a tremendous thrill and honor. Jim Lampley with us now, simply one of the best and most accomplished sports announcers ever. Career span decades. He's covered about as many sports as you can probably name. Jim, Mike, and Chris here. We are so thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much, Mike and Chris. Pleasure to be with you. And thanks for that laudatory intro.
I'm very trying to be just as good as I can be with the words with you. I've been watching clips, you with Rich Eisen a while ago, and just different interviews you've done. And I always did admire your work, but I've come to even on a higher level appreciate how studious you are about what you're saying. And I also want, while I'm here just praising you, I want to say too, I think a lot of announcers miss it when it comes to just simply the volume. But I always thought with you, like you must have cared about it, that you never wanted to like sort of be screaming at us or, you know, even in a like a excited way. So anyway, I'm a fan.
I think it's possible to express excitement and admiration for what you are watching without having to scream and yell. I've always put my efforts into finding the right words to describe what I'm seeing and to be respectful of the audience's right and privilege of responding to it emotionally in their own way. So at the most emotional moments and the most high-impact moments I've ever covered, I tried to be understated. The best example being Mike Tyson has been knocked out in Tokyo February 10, 1990, when Buster Douglas produced what everybody thought was an absolutely unintelligible miracle. So I bank on my ability to describe via words and phrases that are intelligent, thoughtful, and understated enough to leave room for the audience to develop its own emotional response.
So when you found out two radio guys from Buffalo, New York wanted to talk to you, what was your first thought? Like, what did you think of when you were presented with Buffalo?
How cold I was when I did the hosting segments for NFL Live one day there in your stadium for a... what I believe was a December regular season game. It might have been a late November regular season game. And it was an experience to wear something in the way of an acceptable on-camera outfit and not outfit myself in a bear belt or something to manage that particular cold experience. So that and just, you know, the long, glorious history of the Buffalo Bills and the fact that an old friend of mine, Robert McAdoo from the University of North Carolina, I believe played in Buffalo with the Buffalo Braves for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah, for a little while. People here, Jim, are fond of saying, for a moment in time, we had the three best players in three North American team sports, O.J., McAdoo, and Gilbert Perreault on the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, you know that O.J. was a dear friend of mine. You probably know, you know, about my long history with him. And obviously that's been a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. If you're close to him emotionally, as I was, then you ultimately had to accommodate some extremely difficult truths. And I managed to do that, but it wasn't easy.
If I remember correctly, yourself or others from NBC, so 1993, I'm thinking here, when the Bills are en route to their fourth straight AFC title, you guys might have been set up, Mike Ditka, and maybe the fans were hot. Joe Gibbs, maybe the fans were hostile, like in the end zone or something. Does that ring a bell?
If you're talking about the Super Bowl in Pasadena.
Okay.
I don't have any memory of anything like that.
Okay.
I had good experiences hosting the Super Bowl. The Pasadena game, I was on the field, so I was kind of accessible to fans. And the following year was Atlanta, and the game in Atlanta was the backdrop for one of my most interesting experiences with O.J., because we got marooned in Atlanta. Everybody else, Inberg, Trumpy, the rest of the telecast crew, were able to leave and go back to the West Coast. O.J. and I didn't have access to a plane for that. So we wound up going back to the Ritz-Carlton and Buckhead together, and hooked up with some people from Kevin Costner's movie crew. He was shooting The Postman at that time. For some reason, there were scenes being shot in Atlanta. And O.J. and I spent a few hours riding around that night looking for a place to dance in a southern city that was still part of the Bible Belt, even in 1994. And ultimately, we went back to the hotel. And that was the last time I was with him prior to the next kaleidoscopic event in his life.
So no dancing, as it turns out. You were unsuccessful, even the night of the Super Bowl.
There was no place available to dance late on Sunday night in Atlanta.
Unfortunate.
Well,
I warned him that would be the case.
Yeah.
I didn't know for sure.
Well, I don't know how familiar you are with what happened with the Bills and to the fan base in the years in between. There were a couple of, like, you know, death rattle years there where they were still a playoff team but no longer a Super Bowl caliber team. And then there was a playoff drought, Jim, but they're back now. And I wonder if that trips any wires for you to have the Bills back in, like, the American consciousness in the way that they are now, like they were when you were working with NBC.
Josh Allen is one of the most exciting and heart-stopping players in the NFL. I think that his presence alone is enough to bring the franchise back to front-page status and make the Bills relevant in Super Bowl talk again. And I think they will be every year that Josh Allen stays on the roster and plays. He's an amazing player, extremely resourceful, appears to be – I haven't met him, but he appears to be a really high-quality leader and team motivator, et cetera. And, you know, I think that it's fun now to watch the Bills because you know that with Josh Allen, they can beat anybody.
With Jim Lampley, Mike Shope and the Bulldog here on WGR. Jim, you also would have been in Buffalo for Joe Macy one HBO night. I know you and Emmanuel Stewart were here talking about him, his fight with Darrell Williamson, always been amused by the nickname Touch of Sleep. That's one of the great nicknames. Do you remember the ride with Macy? Buffalo got very into him, and it seemed for a minute like he was a serious, you know, candidate to, you know, win big. Then he had an eye injury, right, Bulldog? And wasn't it?
Or brain, eye or brain injury.
Brain
was.
Injury, yeah. And yeah. His career was slowed by that. But do you have memories of him or your visit here to cover him?
Well, going back to my days of watching Gillette Friday Night Fights in the 50s as a kid when I was locked in every Friday night and watching, I was well aware that upstate New York has a long and glorious history in the sport of boxing. And now, of course, I go almost every year to the International Boxing Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Canastota, where you worship at the altar of Carmen Basilio and some of the other meaningful fighters who came from upstate New York. So when I was covering Macy, I was very conscious of putting him in the context of the whole upstate New York boxing history and the presence of the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. As it turned out, his moment near or at the top of the heavyweight division, I would say near the top of the heavyweight division, his moment was relatively brief. And I think he was good, but I'm not sure that he had the skills to compete at the highest level. I don't remember what Emmanuel said about him when we were there, but whatever it was, it had to be highly credible because, as you may know, probably know, Emmanuel Stewart's record in heavyweight championship fights was 34-2-1. Nobody else in history can match what Emmanuel did in the heavyweight division. And he isn't remembered nearly as much for that as he is for a welterweight who turned middleweight, Tommy Hearns.
Okay. You know, in terms of those broadcasts, of those many years, I mean, you became the voice of boxing, really, with Stewart, with George Foreman, Larry Merchant. I will tell you, I certainly wasn't knowledgeable about, you know, the different divisions and the rankings and everything, but a great broadcast is a great broadcast. And in a period of those years, I wouldn't miss those Saturday nights. I just thought you guys were the perfect sort of chemistry and balance, and it was funny too. Like all you Merchant, hilarious, Foreman, of course, the late George Foreman. So I think those broadcasts stand out as among the best in sports broadcasting history.
Very complimentary, and I appreciate it. We had great expert commentators. At the beginning, it was Ray Leonard, and then eventually Ray Leonard was followed by George Foreman, and then George Foreman was ultimately followed by Emmanuel Stewart, and then Roy Jones, and every one of them, slightly different from the predecessor, but brought something meaningful. There's a television writer, don't know if he's still there, at the New York Daily News named Bob Raceman, wrote a sports television column in the New York Daily News, very prominent in the 90s and onward, and there was a moment in time when Raceman wrote in the Daily News that Lampley, Merchant, Foreman was the greatest three-man team in the history of sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
Now think about that.
Yeah.
Gifford Meredith and Cosell, they got a great deal more public response and publicity, etc. So for Raceman in the New York Daily News to say that we were the greatest three-man team in the history of sports broadcasting was quite a distinctive observation. And I always love to be complimented. Anybody who says they don't is lying. and I love the fact that you feel as though you may have gathered some boxing information and awareness from me, because that was what I was all about, was trying to explain the sport and set up the drama and stories that people like Larry and George and Roy and Emmanuel could then elaborate further on.
I'd have to cop to agreeing that everybody likes to be complimented. How do you think this is going so far, by the way?
Oh, you guys are great.
With
clearly the greatest interviewers ever.
Oh, you're too nice. You're too. Jim, do you share that view? I mean, not to say that you were part of the greatest crew ever, but is that what stands out to you the most? I mean, you've had an amazing and varied career. Is that boxing crew with Larry Merchant and George Foreman that was referenced that way in the Daily News what you feel is like the best thing you ever did?
Well, I went to 14 Olympics, more than any other American sports television broadcaster, according to what I am told. I don't count and keep the records, but, you know, I did have the privilege of going to 14 Olympics, and I did some very memorable things there. It's pretty hard, going back to Western New York State, it's pretty hard to find any moment that exceeds being a part of the Miracle on Ice. And obviously, Al Michaels called the game, and Al Michaels created the imprint with that "Do You Believe in Miracles" line, which was brilliant. And Al is, in my view, the greatest conventional sports play-by-play man ever. But I was the one who got to Mike Ruzzioni and Jim Craig after the game and did a memorable interview with them on Main Street of Lake Placid as we were going off the air that night. And in order to get that interview, I had to leave other work behind in the broadcast center and go join the game at the beginning of the second period and stand on a camera platform where I wasn't supposed to be. So that's just such a delicious memory. And so, you know, totally enclosed in its own envelope because nothing else could ever match it before or since in terms of the improbability of what went on. There was no way, no possible logical way that that team of college players and semi-pros and ragamuffins could beat the Soviet machine, which had won every international hockey competition for the preceding 10 years. But they did. And it's part of the title of my book. It happened. You can't really conjure how or why it happened, but it happened.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to visit Lake Placid since then? Because I've been many times.
I went back to Lake Placid one time after those Olympics, and that was the following year when I went on a private plane with Herb Brooks to go into the arena and stand there and do a recap interview, a discussion about the Miracle on Ice one calendar year later. And I'll never forget it because there was nobody in the plane but a two-man.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Crew and Brooks and me, and on the flight back to New York City from Lake Placid, we wound up in a massive storm. The plane was being tossed around in the air, and Brooks and I were literally speculating on which paragraph I would be in when the story on the front page of the New York Times the following day detailed the death of Herb Brooks in a private plane crash. I was figuring I maybe get paragraph 6 or something like that.
I'll tell you just quickly, I've been there many times with my family. It's, you know, about 5 hours from here. And the thing that always stands out to me is it. I don't know if this would have been noticeable just a year after the Olympics. What the Olympics have become, it's incredible to walk down Main Street and just imagine that the Olympics took place in that town. It's incredible.
It was the most, look, you know, if it had not happened in 1932, if you did not have that piece of history, if it weren't for the fact that there was at that moment no other major ski resort in America that had a ski jump, and Lake Placid still had the ski jumps, et cetera. But it should not have happened. It was an unmanageable environment. The local organizing committee was inept. In a lot of ways, those Olympics were a disaster, but the Miracle on Ice redeemed them, completely redeemed them, and painted them in a positive light, which will last forever.
Yeah, now it's more trivia to think of other Winter Olympic cities.
Well, nobody remembers, you know, hundreds of people standing in remote parking lots in freezing and sub-freezing weather, waiting for buses that didn't show up, or getting onto the buses with tickets that weren't really the right tickets to get them in. There were so many things that went wrong with the local organizing committee. It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday night and Sunday night of the second weekend, you got the Miracle on Ice, and then they beat Finland to win the gold medal. One of the most unexpected gold medals ever for the United States Olympic team.
On the Sunday afternoon. We've talked to Al Michaels a few times. He's been gracious enough to join us, and I have loved asking him about that. And Ken Dryden, he and Dryden do the game, and I just love Dryden's maybe his first line in the setup to the game, where it's one thing to be young and promising, but it's quite another to be good. And I just think that was
Ken
so
Dryden,
profound.
Ken Dryden was a brilliant guy who, you know, it was only a total sideline for him to do expert commentary, but he was a brilliant guy with a brilliant law career.
Yeah.
He and Michaels made a fantastic team for calling the game. And I got 5 or 6 minutes of involvement, which had lasted for a long, long time.
Yeah, Dryden, not exactly conventional. He's standing there with his arms folded and a turtleneck. They both were wearing these light blue turtlenecks to the open of that game. Well, Jim, admittedly, this came together pretty quickly. I'm not all the way through your memoir. It happened. I love the story of your childhood and your mother. I'm a father in a multiracial home, and I just think, like, the message you convey about her and what she meant to you and the lessons she taught you are just super, like, amazing, considering the environment you were in. And I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned in our conversation, because I thought that was really special.
My mother was a cosmic woman, a poor Irish girl from Memphis who somehow got it in her head that the most important things to teach to her two sons were anti-racism and resistance to discrimination against other people. She was the fulcrum of my sports television career, because one thing I often say is that I started in 1974 at ABC Sports. I lasted until 2018 on HBO. I don't see how anybody could have constructed and maintained a career as a national television sportscaster in that period of time if he were a racist. It couldn't happen. You had to be anti-racist to get it in the sports environment of the 70s, 80s, 90s, teens and 20s in the United States. So she gave me a gift that helped to sustain my career all the way through.
Very good. Jim, this has been a great thrill. I don't mean this to sound like obnoxious. I hope it doesn't come across that way. Do you have any questions for us?
How cold is it in Buffalo today?
90.
I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which sounds like kind of a cool place, but it's 98 degrees with 91% humidity. It's insufferable. And it's getting a little worse every year, but that's another discussion.
Well, thank you to Fred and Abe, who helped bring this together, and my guy Kyle, who I just met randomly 10 days ago. And he's like, I know a guy. Just we struck up a conversation.
He knows a guy, right?
And I'm really glad this happened. So very much appreciate your time. And
would you enjoy the rest of the book?
Yes.
I think that there are some things toward the end that are you really going to like. And, I tried to make as much of the book as possible, other than that part, which is about my mother and my grandmother. I tried to make as much of it as possible about the evolution of sports television, the changes I saw, and the changes of which I was a part, like ultra-endurance sports. So I hope you enjoy the rest, and thank you very, very much for the opportunity to talk about It Happened and to talk about my lucky life.
I'm especially excited for the Cosell and Me chapter, by the way, which is coming up. Always interested in him.
Well, I I had the privilege of very close contact with him for a while.
Yeah.
So, have fun.
Well, one last thing. We were both delighted to learn you were the first host on WFAN.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Sports radio launch. I learned that today. I did not know that. That radio station is how I got into this, and I'm 30 years in. So, good job.
July 2, 1987, I put WFAN on the air. I was the first talk show host. There was a news insert prior to me coming on the air, and then I came on the air. And on that first day, I recited a manifesto I had written the night before, kind of a forecast as to what would happen as the result of this new medium. And I remember some of the things that I said, like, Rory from Queens or Brooklyn will make trades for the Nets, and franchises will move to other cities because of the feedback they get from talk radio, etc. And at the end of the day, it all happened. Everything I said would happen. Oh, there will be three of these stations in Salt Lake City doing all jazz all day, 24 hours of jazz. That happened. So it was a stunning piece of experience in my life to make up this whimsical idea of what could happen because of sports talk radio and then watch it happen.
Utah jazz. There might not be a single jazz music station in Salt Lake, right? I mean, that was your prediction.
No jazz music station. Just jazz talk all the
right.
time, 24 hours. By the way, that happens in every market.
Yep.
There was a moment when there were three sports talk radio stations in Los Angeles, and they were all Kobe all the time, 24 hours a day of Kobe talk.
Yeah. No, we can relate. So, very good. Thanks again, Jim. It happened. Is there a best way for you for people to get the book?
The
your website?
The statistic I heard last week from the publisher was that it was, at least for a minute or two, the number one selling audiobook in the country.
All right.
I am the voice of the audiobook. But if you go to Amazon or Kindle, it's not hard to find It Happened, and it's available in three different iterations, and have fun. It's a fun book.
I'm sure. Thanks again, Jim. What a pleasure.
My privilege. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Jim Lampley. It Happened is his call when Foreman beats Michael Moorer.
Right, the comeback, right?
Win the heavyweight title at 46 or whatever he was. Also, it's like right on point. All right, super cool. Thank you to everybody who helped bring us Jim Lampley. Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog at 803-0550. We'll be back after sports. This is WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.